Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I would like to welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday, the 27th of May, 2014. Hope you had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Today is my first day back from vacation. My thanks to Rosemary Brandt, our ace producer, and Dan Shear of the Green Valley News, and Sarita Sun and Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star for holding down the fort while I was off enjoying some time away in London, Lisbon, and the lovely and amazing Azores Islands, 1,000 miles off the coast of Portugal. We'll get things rolling today. Raj Kohli is with me in studio. We're going to talk real estate, then certified financial planner Shelley Fishman, sporting a big smile, as the market is doing pretty darn well today. He'll have the Tuesday Moneymaker Report, 30 minutes past the hour. A UA professor solves the mystery of the pandemic flu virus of 1918. Then we close out the show with the Every Other Tuesday Arts Report presented by Fox Tucson Theater. We invite you to join the program. Call us at 790-2040 anytime on the live line, or join us on Facebook under my name, Bill Buckmaster. Raj, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing good, Bill.
Raj Kohli's been selling real estate in the Tucson area for over a decade. He works for Tierra Antigua Realty, the largest locally owned real estate company in southern Arizona. He has expertise in selling new homes, foreclosures, and resale homes. He's been selling foreclosure homes for over 12 years. He had a very popular radio show called Homes and More for many years. He's the author also of the Tucson Fountain Plaza plan for downtown Tucson. And 30 years ago, Raj undertook a world tour on a bicycle to promote world peace. So do you still ride the bicycle or not?
Not right now, Bill. It's hard when you have the weight that I'm carrying lately.
Maybe someday. How does the real estate market look through almost the first 6 months of the year?
Well, it looks all right. It's not on fire like it was same time last year. Last year, you know, the prices were rising substantially. In fact, they rose from September 2011. They rose about 20%. And since then, they've pulled back a little bit. Not a whole lot, but they're kind of holding their own right now. And the stability in the market is good. You need to consolidate, and that's a good thing.
One of the problems, according to the Wall Street Journal in the weekend edition, was that the first-time buyers just really haven't put a foothold into this market as had been hoped. And that's been a factor, according to the Wall Street Journal, Raj, in stunting the sales of newly built homes to a pace of really only about 60% of the annual average since 2000. So can first-time buyers locally here, I assume they can find good deals, but the problem would be, how do you get the financing?
Well, yes. I mean, you know, if you have good credit, there's no problem getting a loan. So that's not an issue. The issue is when you have lower credit scores, your income is limited, you don't have the down payment. Before it didn't matter whether you had something or not, you could still buy a home. Nowadays, not only that you say you have it, but you have to prove it. In other words, you have to have documentation for everything. If something went wrong with the credit, you have to explain it. You have to provide the down payment. You have to provide all the paperwork, you know, whether for your W-2s, you know, for your income and for your bank statements, et cetera, et cetera. So it isn't like you could just say it before, like they had the no-docs loan. You could just say what you want to say,
yeah,
and somebody will give you a loan. Those
mm-hmm.
days are long gone.
So this is an outgrowth of the downturn from 2008.
Absolutely. And in fact, I think what they did is they went really almost too far. You know, it always happens. You know, you go from the pendulum swings from mm-hmm. one extreme to the other, and they went too far in terms of restricting the lending industry from being overly zealous with their lending and stuff. And now they've gotten too far in terms of restricting them so much where lenders are very, you know, they could be penalized if they give a loan to the wrong person, or they could get the loan put back to them. And that's the risk that lenders take now.
What is holding the market back here locally?
Well, if you notice lately, the Phoenix market is showing more improvement because there are more jobs in Phoenix. It's a bigger market, and all there are a lot of corporations with the headquarters and big factories that are being built. They get built in the Phoenix area, not in the Tucson area. So the jobs are higher there. So they've done better that way, and jobs are less in Tucson. If you look at the reports that come out from Phoenix, we are always behind. We have fewer jobs being created. Fewer jobs, lower income jobs. All of those keep Tucson market back. And also, people are still not sure, you know, if we're going to have the stability in the marketplace with the elections coming up. None of these things help with making decisions when it comes to making such a big decision, you know, buying a home.
Raj Kohli is with us, local real estate expert, 790-2040, 790-2040. What area of town is doing better than what's at the top of the list, in your opinion?
You would be surprised.
Okay.
South Tucson.
Really?
South part of Tucson, zip code 06, 56, and 46. So 46 zip code is the Midvale Park area. Mm-hmm. 06 and 56 is the area south of the I-10. And you're going all the way down south. And so 56 is, of course, you know, just south of Valencia.
So why is that area doing so
well? There's many reasons. In fact, if you look at the report yesterday in the newspaper or today, they're talking about the fact that they're going to build big shopping centers at Houghton and I-10.
Yeah, that was the
Wilmot and I-10.
Front page of today's Star about the big box stores looking to that part of town that you're talking about. Yeah.
Why? Because first off, you have the four or five biggest employers in town right there. You've got Davis Monthan, you've got Raytheon, you've got the University of Arizona Research Center, the University of Arizona itself, you've got the airport, and you've got other industrial areas down here. So, and you're right near I-10. And they're building about 2,500 homes, new homes. So when you have all of that, and they look at all the retail people, look at the rooftops, meaning how many people can buy there. And because of that, that's the ideal location to locate. And that's why, you know, when people are living there close to their jobs, now retail is willing to come in.
How much of a hit have people taken on the valuation of their homes?
Since that downturn. It depends upon the area. You know, we were down to about almost 50%.
50% loss of value.
Yeah, in some cases even more. But in the upper end, it wasn't that bad, maybe. In some cases, more than 50%. Mm-hmm. But then we've come back 20%. So let's say it was a $100,000 property. Mm-hmm. If it went down to $50,000, now you're up to about $65,000, $70,000. So you still have that $30,000 left to go. So there are some areas where you have actually come back, like Central didn't get hit a whole lot. You know, somewhere on the Shadow Hills, Foothills area didn't get hit too much. So areas that didn't get hit too much, they're holding their own. But the areas that got hit hard, in fact, some have come up very strong because they got hit so hard.
Have we cleaned up the foreclosure market? It was such a, at one point, what, 50%? I mean, what percentage is the foreclosure market now? We put a big dent in it?
Yes. Actually, it's down 35% from a year ago.
Okay.
And technically, I think we were at about 44%, I think, in Tucson market, off the total market. And now I think we're probably less than 30%.
So that's healthy, right?
That's definitely healthy. And in fact, nationally, I think the challenge with you asked about the first-time homebuyers, 29% are first-time homebuyers now. It used to be 40 to 44% on average historically, and even 50% at one point. So that's the challenge, is first-time homebuyers aren't coming in because most people are living and sharing, you know, living with parents or with friends and stuff they're sharing. But once the income comes back, when the GDP starts growing fast, you know, jobs will come back and, you know, homes will come back.
You work with a large bank in trying to get those foreclosure properties off their books.
Correct.
Of course, this is since the big downturn of 2008. That's been one of the big issues for the big banks, is trying to get this inventory dissolved.
Right.
What's your feeling on how far do we have to go to get it back to where it should be?
Well, another 3 years maybe, but you know, the reality is that the banks have gotten rid of most of their bad assets. They are not desperate anymore. People still feel, oh, it's a bank property, so we can lowball it. Those days are long gone. 2.5 years ago, you could have lowballed it. But since then, lowballing doesn't work. In some cases, people have paid more than the list price because the properties were valued so aggressively. So the reality is the lowball days are gone. You have to be, you know, at the market value to be able to buy a property these days, even though it's bank owned.
Is this a good time to sell?
Lots of people are selling. In fact, the inventory is up 35% from a year ago. 35% higher listings on the market today than they were a year ago. So lots of people are thinking it is a better market. I have sold several resale homes as well. So I've got some in escrow right now. And I've got a bunch of bank properties in escrow. So the reality is that things are selling. If you price it right, there's no reason why it won't sell.
And as far as the people who have been holding, they've been on the sidelines waiting for the values to go up, how much more weight should they put out there?
Well, you know, if they have to sell,
and they've just been waiting.
I would say wait in a year and a half, 2 years, because, you know, right now, with after the elections, it'll take that much time for things to settle down, like by March. By this time next year, you know, I think then things will have settled down. But then you have another year before the presidential election comes. And, you know, anytime you have elections, it creates this uncertainty in the marketplace. But at least you will have gone through the worst part. The interest rates have gone back down, by the way, Bill, in case people don't know this. So this is a great time to buy, by the way, because they moved back about 50 basis points. That's 0.5% as far as borrowing is concerned.
Okay, Raj, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
I'm always available on my cell phone at 891-9119. And that's the best thing to do.
Okay, and you answer that 24/7.
Yes, I always pick up my phone. That's one of the things
does.
I do.
Raj Kohli, thank you very much. Raj Kohli, who has been a real estate expert for many years here in Tucson, giving us some insight. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Good time to go over to Silver City, check out the Gila National Wilderness. Silver City, one of America's top 100 arts communities, and named by Smithsonian Magazine as one of the top 20 small towns to visit in the United States. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org for the fine listing of places to stay like Gila Hot Springs Ranch and Georgetown Cabins and things to do. southwestnewmexico.org.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and cockroaches. You know what I did? Smartest call I ever made in my life. I called my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. I was introduced to a guy named Joey. He'd been my technician for 11 years. A great job. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
UA Biosphere 2's new ocean gallery and its large viewing windows give tour visitors a look under the surface of the existing Biosphere 2 ocean. Within the ocean gallery is the new Return to the Sea of Cortez exhibit, which chronicles the storied 1940 journey of author John Steinbeck and marine biologist Ed Ricketts to the Gulf. Experience this remarkable journey for yourself. Come visit Biosphere 2 today. Info at b2science.org.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And we welcome Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how are you today?
I'm well, Bill. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Had a great trip, and it's good to be back, though, and good to be back to see a market that is just really, really healthy right now.
Yeah, this market just wants to be steady and hold on to last year's gains, add some new gains rather modestly. There's so much being written right now about whether or not this is, in fact, some level that can be sustained, or whether we're due for a pullback. I've been saying there's probably going to be some sort of pullback, but it looks like the fundamentals can indeed sustain these levels, though you can, there's an unknown out there that's going to shock the market for a couple of weeks, and then we'll start the slow rise back to where still all of the analysts that I'm reading continue to say, look for about 10% out of the S&P 500 and the Dow this year.
And we're at record levels right now.
We are at record levels. The Dow is up only about 1%, but the S&P is up about 3%. NASDAQ's doing even a little bit better. So for the year. Interestingly, we're seeing gains in the bond markets as well. We're seeing gains in Europe. Japan looks like it's going to have a better year than anybody predicted. Europe, on balance, is doing okay. France is kind of flat. What we're seeing is that this recession, this 2008 debacle, was just so deep and so hard to pull out of. Here in the U.S., we've done better than just about anybody else that was directly involved in it. Some of the emerging countries, even though they've slowed down, are still, outperforming us in terms of what the growth number is, but their per capita incomes are so low that they have a lot of growing to do.
Shelley Fishman is with us, certified financial planner. It is our Tuesday Moneymaker Report on the Buckmaster Show. What do the current forecasts look like from the groups that you're associated with, LPL, yeah, namely?
Well, LPL continues to say we're going to see a good year. Maybe is as high as 12%. I'm thinking that's a little optimistic. I hope they're right. SEI Private Trust Company, which is a manager or group of managers that I sometimes use for accounts that want to be more actively and aggressively managed, they're also in the same ballpark, but even a little bit more aggressive. So what the analysts are saying is that when you take a look at the price-to-earnings ratios in terms of historic highs and historic norms, that we've got a bunch of expanding we can do before any of the technical limits are passed. And that says that this could be another nice year. Now, you know, you still have to be a little bit careful. You still need to make sure that greed doesn't enter the game because, you know, in a pullback, you can get hurt pretty badly. So if you're a 35-year-old, a 40-year-old, and you're in it for the long pull, then assuming you can handle the risk emotionally, then being, you know, in a 70% equities position is probably the wisest thing to do.
So the mix you like is usually about a 70-30 for someone in that particular...
For somebody in that age
that
group.
That age group, right.
Exactly. Once you get into your 60s and, mm-hmm. you know, 50s and 60s, and you need necessarily to be more conservative because volatility is your enemy, mm-hmm. then you flip that, and it's 70% fixed income and 30% equities. All of the analysis over the past 50, 60, 70 years will tell you that you have to have some exposure to equities in order to keep up with inflation and to grow your portfolio.
Go ahead, Sean.
The forecasting that it's done, for instance, if you're a 65-year-old and you want to start taking retirement and you need a certain amount to live on. If you take more than 4% a year or 5% a year from your portfolio, there is some likelihood that you will, in fact, outlive your money.
Mm-hmm.
If, however, you are allocated more aggressively than you'd think, say 40% equities and 60% fixed income, that likelihood goes down. You actually, using historical norms, you'll be better off. The problem is you'll have some very scary moments, and you know, during the 3 or 4 pullbacks that you're going to see during the rest of your life, and you have to be willing to cut back your withdrawals from your portfolio during those times.
A lot of people could not handle the risk, and
exactly.
many people during and we've heard it so many times, Shelley Fishman, the biggest downturn since the Great Depression, many people just said, I don't want to deal with this, and they got out.
Right. And not only did they get out, but they got out at the lows and then want to come back in at the highs. You know, you have to get back in. You just do. But that bitter pill of going through the 2000-2001 mess with the high techs and then the 2008 mess just overall, combined with the loss of value in their homes and maybe the need to get out of debt, you know, to just reduce the amount of debt, all of that has resulted in a skittishness in the general public. You know, when you also take a look at unemployment rates and you know, just the slowness from which we're emerging from this recession, that it does have a lot of people very, very concerned. We hear it from call-ins.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
people have lost the trust.
Yeah, and it promotes conspiracy theorists, mm-hmm. and you know, it's just very, very difficult. My only caution is, number one, don't take anybody's advice. Get a couple of opinions, and also just stay away from the sure things, the stuff that, you know, where they promise you safe money or they promise you this and you can't fail. And all of those things come at a cost. If there were a sure way to make money and to outperform the market, everybody would be doing it.
And interview a certified financial planner like your life depends on it. Because
absolutely.
It does.
Absolutely. Well, your financial
yeah,
life does.
Your financial life.
And
not your physical life.
Do not
necessarily
be shy. No, you're absolutely
yes.
right, Bill. Do not be shy when you sit down with an expert, whether mm-hmm. that expert is a financial planner or a doctor.
Yeah.
You
so
know, ask questions.
Fiscal
back.
On either side, spelled with the P
yeah,
or
yeah,
the
there you go.
Or
like
the F.
That's good.
There you go.
yeah, I mean, it's very important that you take the time and effort mm-hmm. to find the doctor or the financial planner or whatever who is right for you.
Well, I think Shelley Fishman is right for us, and I think he could be right for you. And what's the best way to get a hold of you, Shelley?
BuckmasterShow.com is the best way. It's the easiest way, but I would be remiss if I didn't say I also have a website, ShelleyFishman.com, or simply call me at 940-0884.
And you've upgraded the website.
Yeah, the website looks real good. It's got a lot of information on it.
Shelley, have a great week.
You too, Bill. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
With SRN News, I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. President Obama announces plans for winding up the war effort in Afghanistan. He says he's planning to keep fewer than 10,000 U.S. troops in the country after this year, but then draw down those forces by the end of 2016. Boko Haram is suspected of being behind two new attacks in northern Nigeria. Local officials say 54 people have been killed. Meanwhile, Nigeria's military says it has located the nearly 300 schoolgirls the Islamic extremists kidnapped last month, but using any kind of force to free them might put their lives at risk. The search for three ranchers missing after a huge mudslide in a remote part of western Colorado has been called off. The Mesa County Sheriff says the area remains too unstable to continue searching for the men, and another mudslide is still possible. On Wall Street at last check, the Dow was up 73 points. This is SRN News.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in southern Arizona. From cooking, cleaning, bathing, and drinking, the benefits of a Culligan system are obvious. You'll use less soap, shampoo, and detergent. Your appliances will last longer, your clothes will last longer, and stay brighter, too. All of this saves you money and adds to the quality of life. Not to mention softer skin and softer hair the whole family will enjoy. Culligan has been in Tucson since 1946, and we have seen about every water concern imaginable. We continue to stay on top of the newest state-of-the-art technology to deliver the refreshing, clean, and high-quality water that's become the Culligan hallmark of excellence. Try a Culligan water treatment system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental on an annual rental agreement. Schedule your free water test, and don't forget to ask about the Culligan high-efficiency water softener. Call 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. A study led by Professor Michael Warby of the University of Arizona provides the most conclusive answers yet to two of the world's most foremost biomedical mysteries of the past century, the origin of the 1918 pandemic flu virus and its unusual severity, which resulted in a death toll of approximately 50 million people worldwide. Warby's paper on the flu was published in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences recently, and it not only sheds light on the devastating 1918 pandemic, but also suggests the types of flu viruses to which people were exposed during childhood may predict how susceptible they are to future strains, which could really change the whole vaccination strategies, prevention, and preparedness. Professor Warby joins us now. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Tell me a little bit about how long you have been trying to crack this particular nut about the pandemic flu virus.
I have been working on the evolution of influenza for more than a decade. And if you're interested in that subject, the big question has always been, what went on in 1918? Why was this thing so severe? And why did it kill young people in particular? And so I've been working in one way or the other on that question for more than 10 years. About 3 years ago, I really ramped things up and I developed a new method, actually, that sheds it makes for a better way of inferring the family trees of these viruses. And that led to some insights that sort of a domino effect led to a hypothesis for why this 1918 Spanish flu was so severe.
And the big question, of course, when people think of the flu and the killer flu that it is, it usually takes old people, but this one took young people. Why is that?
Right. So flu normally is very dangerous for the elderly and for very young people, for infants in particular. It usually leaves people in their 20s to 40s pretty much alone. You get sick, but you don't die. In 1918, you saw a very steep mortality curve that has this spike right around the age of 29. So why is that? That's the question that people have been asking since 1918. And, you know, there really has not been a good answer. There have been some ideas put forward. The leading one before our study was that maybe there was something about an immune response overreaction. So often with viruses, it's your immune response that actually does the damage. And the idea was, okay, maybe those young adults had strong immune systems and it turned against them. Mm-hmm. And it was actually better to have a weak immune system. So that idea has been out there, but it has never, to me, it's never been a good explanatory hypothesis, because people just a little younger or just a little older than 29 didn't die, and they don't. There's just not differences in the immune response that can explain that. What we do in my lab is we infer the family trees of viruses using gene sequences, just like you can do for humans and other organisms. You can tell what's related to what and when they shared common ancestors. When we did the evolutionary tree, the family tree for the 1918 virus with this new method that we developed, we found one big surprise. And that was that part of the genome of this virus, this what we call an H1N1 virus, looks like it actually had already been spreading in humans long before 1918. And that was a big surprise. And what it boils down to is this, that probably your childhood exposure to influenza sets the stage for the rest of your life in important ways, and you become quite good at defending yourself against very similar viruses. but relatively poor at defending yourself against viruses that are different. The age groups that did well in 1918 had all probably been exposed as kids to somewhat similar viruses. The one wedge of those peaking in age 29, they were probably exposed to a completely different virus in the previous pandemic of 1889, the so-called Russian flu. And just by luck, they had really poor immunity to the 1918 virus.
Thus, the virus just absolutely took off and tore apart the immune system of these young, healthy people.
Yeah, and to put it in perspective, this thing was horrible. It killed 600,000 Americans in one winter season compared to, you know, several thousand these days with flu. It was horrible, but it didn't kill everyone. It even in the most hard-hit age groups, you know, you had something like maybe 4% mortality. So for the most part, people did have some defenses. It's just that that one age group had relatively poor defenses. So a relatively large number of them died from this virus.
Michael Warby is with us. Professor Warby, Dr. Warby, UA Professor of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology at the University of Arizona. This is really groundbreaking stuff, Mike, and I know you've this is going to change the thinking of the preparation and with the vaccines. A little bit on that, please.
Sure. Okay. So all of us have been exposed to viruses that in part actually descend from this 1918 virus. And people listening will be familiar with H3N2 and H1N1. These are influenza A viruses that circulate around the human population every year, and you have seasonal epidemics in the U.S. in the winter. And we vaccinate regularly against those viruses, and you have a vaccine that includes components against each of those two subtypes. And because the virus evolves so quickly, you need to keep changing the vaccine. So that's why it's the one really annoying vaccine that you have to keep going back mm-hmm. every year to get. Now, what isn't really accounted for in that strategy currently is this possibility that your childhood exposure might shape your outcome. So people who were born between 1918 and 1957, as kids, they had been exposed to H1N1. And what it looks like, and in our paper we plowed through the literature, the epidemiology on this, it does look like that the childhood exposure to H1N1 might make H1N1 later in life a less severe virus. So very few elderly people now actually die from H1N1. It's H3N2 that really hits that population hard. If you look at younger people who are exposed to H3N2 first, it swaps. H3N2 mm-hmm. is the less dangerous virus, and H1N1 is more dangerous.
Consequently, vaccines could be tailored to elderly and could be tailored to young people. We may not have a one-size-fits-all, is what you're saying.
Exactly. And this may be a complementary approach to what we do now, but to consider the idea of an age-specific vaccination protocol where you take into account the differences between age groups who had been exposed to different viruses, I think is probably going to pay dividends in the long run.
Let's see if we can work in a call here on the Buckmaster Show. Matt is with us. Matthew has a question for Professor Warby. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, Professor, I'm interested in also what was your interpretation of the effect of World War One with the soldiers with regards to influenza. Did you draw any inferences from what your thoughts are? And the second part is, while I get what you're saying, and my question is, does your suggestion make sense? But what about the fact that the soldiers, or not the soldiers, but the people most affected, young people, and the conclusion that, you know, their own immune systems sort of overcompensated and led to their death. What could be done? I still think that's a valid thing. I don't think that what you're saying invalidates that.
Okay, thanks, Matt. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so it's a great question, and certainly this pandemic crested just as the war was ending, and then as people were demobilized in the fall of 1918 was when it really hit hard. And so the war was definitely a component of it that exacerbated it. And what you had essentially was a corralling together of large numbers of this age group in their 20s in 1918 who had been exposed to a different virus as kids. And that certainly didn't help anything. What I'm saying is that it's probably the mismatch between the childhood virus in that age group and the 1918 virus that was the big thing. It doesn't, you're right that it doesn't, it's not mutually exclusive with the idea of an immune overreaction. But if you look at the curve of who had antibodies to the unrelated virus, it overlaps almost perfectly with the curve of which age groups died. So I think there is something to this.
Mike Warby, UA Professor of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology, thank you very much. Groundbreaking stuff, Mystery of the Pandemic Flu Virus of 1918, pretty much solved. And Professor Warby, we appreciate your participation on the program. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Tucson Desert Art Museum. Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back. The Every Other Tuesday Arts Report on Buckmaster, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, presenting an intimate evening with Justin Hayward, the legendary voice of the Moody Blues, Saturday, May 31st. Justin Hayward, lead guitarist and vocalist of the iconic rock band the Moody Blues, wrote the chart-topping hits Nights in White Satin, Tuesday Afternoon, Question, The Voice, and Your Wildest Dreams. I remember all of those big hits. Joining Justin on stage will be Mike Dawes on acoustic guitar, Julie Raggins backup vocal and keyboard. For tickets to see An Intimate Evening with Justin Hayward, legendary voice of the Moody Blues, May 31st, and Stephen Stills coming June 3rd, visit foxtucson.com or call 547-3040. We welcome now to the Buckmaster Show, Linda Ray. Linda, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
And you always put together such a wonderful calendar of all the arts activities going on for the Buckmaster Show. And yes, things are slowing down a bit, but you have a very respectable list in front of us that we're going to try to get through here.
Right. I want to talk first about Odyssey Storytelling. I don't think we've talked about it before because it happens every month. It's on the first Thursday. So this is a good time to mention it because what they do is they have people who like to tell stories, actors, people from all walks of life who just tell a good tale and then they work with them until it's a performance piece. It's an unusual thing to do oral performance like that, and they have really made quite an art. They're into their eighth year or something, but anyway, so the on the evening of, let's see,
June 5th
from 7 to 9 mm-hmm. at Flux Studio and Gallery, which is like right next to the New Cornet Cafe and across from the Shanty,
right before you get to the bridge. FLUX Studio and Gallery,
right,
on East 9th.
414 East 9th. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they're doing Behind Bars. And it's a series of storytellers who are going to talk about what it means to be imprisoned, either metaphorically or otherwise. But who holds the key? How do you get into such a fix? And some of the people that are performing are going to be 9-time Grammy nominee Will Clipman. He's a musician, performance artist. Then there's a 16-year-old slam poet, and she's published in a couple of fine literary publications, Lydia Haven. She's involved in that youth poetry slam group that we've talked about before. Anyway, I wish I had time to tell you about all mm-hmm. of them, Jessica Schumach and so on. But it's going to be a great night of storytelling. Do something new. It's only $8.
And that's June the 5th, 7
to
9 at the
right.
Flux Studio and Gallery. What do we have coming up? Let's switch to art.
Okay.
Unless you wanted to quickly.
Well, let's just quickly cover theater. Okay. Pygmalion is continuing at the Comedy Playhouse. Everybody loves that. My Fair Lady was based on that.
That's over on North First.
Right. This is without the music. So there's a little more wit, a little less music. And then it's the last chance to see a live theater workshop production of four plays about Iraq. And then go to what is alleged to be the funniest play of all time, Loot, by Joe Orton. And that's going to continue through June 7th at Live Theater Workshop on
Speedway, 5317 right. East Speedway.
Right. And then this week, opening at Conrad Wild Gallery, it's a fun exhibit called High Fiber. Now, this is not something that we don't get many art exhibits here that are about fiber. We get lots of photography, but so this is kind of unique, but it's kind of a cute name too, High Fiber.
Everything right? to do with kind of fiber-based right. works of art by local and national talent.
Continues through June 28th. And then Contreras Gallery is going to be the Dog Boy Trinity. Now, what's interesting about that is three Native American artists, Navajo, Tohono O'odham, and Yaqui, exhibiting paintings, drawings, prints. An opening reception is Saturday, June 7th. It's next week, and that continues through June 28th at Contreras Gallery, 110 East 6th.
So both the Wild Gallery and Contreras Gallery very close to each other uh-huh. On 6th.
Right. And I just wanted to give a quick mention. You know, a lot of our libraries around town have exhibits. This one really caught my eye because it's an exhibit of work by a young woman who was a Getty Foundation intern and youth coordinator for Community Mural Project in L.A. And she has since moved to Tucson. I'm really interested to see what innovation she's bringing. Her murals reflect her Chicana culture and the political traditions of murals in South America, but also there's a lot of graffiti art involved. So if go to Ekstrom Columbus Branch Library, check it out, same time you check a book. It's June 2nd through July 31st, and that is free. But what's really cool, I'm really looking forward to the summer art cruise.
The art cruise?
Yeah. Well, it's a gallery tour,
but
it's got kind of a cruise ship theme.
You're not going to be heading for the high
seas. No, they can pretend they're going to the Azores
like
a broadcaster
that just came
back. Anyway, it's going to be fun, and all the downtown galleries are involved in it's Let's go to the Central Tucson Gallery Association. Just Google it, and there'll be a map of all of the galleries that are open and what you're going to see there.
Central Tucson Gallery Association. Google it, and it is Saturday, June 7th. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Right.
Kind of hop from gallery to gallery.
Right.
In
it's
the
just ctgatucson.org. And I'd want to also mention in passing by the 105th birthday at Ted DeGrazia. When was the last time you were at DeGrazia's Gallery in the Sun?
It's been too long.
I know. We all feel like we've memorized it, but this is going to be fun. It's going to be very festive with free cake and ice cream and so on. It's on June 14th, Saturday, from 10 to 4. And so put that on your calendars and plan ahead.
Music-wise.
Ready for music. We've talked about Musica Sonora. I cannot talk enough about them. This is an early music group, this time featuring a cornetist who's internationally known, Alexandria Offsall. Do you know that when you go to weddings, sometimes they play the trumpet tune? There's like a trumpet in the background.
Yeah.
This is from the Baroque era. It was written by Henry Purcell, very well known at that time. So this is going to be an afternoon of Baroque music from 3 to 4 p.m. at Grace St. Paul's Episcopal Church, which is a lovely, intimate venue for music.
Nice venue.
Sounds great.
That is going to be, let me see if I've got
June 1st.
Okay, June 1st. That's this Sunday, 3 to 4:30 in the afternoon for the Musica Sonora, and that will be at Grace St. Paul's Episcopal Church. I think we've got time for another one.
Oh, good. Let's talk about Tumamoc. I don't know if you read Mari's wonderful cover story.
Mari Herreras, yes.
Mari Herreras.
And I know you like to walk Tumamoc,
right.
too.
I try to do it a couple times a week. I try. Mm-hmm. But there is going to be a program called This Piece of Earth, Images and Words from Tumamoc Hill. And what this is a book opening. I don't know how to explain it, but they're presenting the book, right? And it's about the inspiration that you get from Tumamoc. It's by Eric McGrain and Paul Morocha, but it's art and words about the experience of Tumamoc Hill, which I would urge everybody to go do for themselves. It's on the west side. It's handy. It's healthy.
And
it's
the venue
peaceful.
Is Antigone Books, is that
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, Antigone Books. Mm-hmm. Always great
that will
stuff
be
there.
This Friday, 7 to 9, Antigone Books. It's a free event, and it's all about Tumamoc, images.
Actually, it's
words.
June 6th.
Oh, did I get that wrong?
Yeah, so plenty of time to
sorry.
Plan. June 6th,
Friday,
7 to 9.
Friday, June 6th, 7 to 9.
The history of that mountain is older by millennia than the history of our town. So
go
check it out.
Linda Ray, thank you. Always a pleasure to see you.
Thanks
for coming on our Every Other Tuesday Arts Report presented by Fox Tucson Theater, encouraging fans of live entertainment to become a member of the Fox. Sounds like a plan. Members enjoy benefits such as member-only ticket pre-sales. Become a member now and take advantage of the Fox Theater's fall season pre-sale, which runs June 10th through June 19th. Coming to the Fox on June 10th, iconic classic rock band America. Founding members Jerry Beckley, Dewey Bunnell, and former bandmate Dan Peek harmonized their way to the top of the charts with hits like A Horse with No Name, Ventura Highway, Sister Golden Hair, and You Can Do Magic. So enjoy the timeless sound of the classic rock favorite, America, June 10th at the Fox Theater. For tickets and information to see Justin Hayward of the Moody Blues on May 31st, Stephen Stills June 3rd, and America on June 10th, visit foxtucson.com or call 547-3040. Want to thank Bottled Water, the bottled water purveyor of the Buckmaster Show, Culligan Water. Thank you, Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round commercial and residential water needs. Coming up tomorrow morning, it's Wake Up Tucson right here on KVOI AM 1030 The Voice. 6 to 8 for Wake Up Tucson. Christy Simone's Daily Double is from 8 to 9. And then Rosemary Brandt, producer, Bill Buckmaster, host, back with you tomorrow at 12:04. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.